Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. This episode, we have two friends, Timo Bernhardt, Porsche factory driver, multiple Le Mans winner, multiple sports car champion, and Derek Bell, one of the world's supreme sports car drivers, multiple Le Mans winner, sports car champion, one of the all-time greats. Talking here about Timo's recent absolute destruction of the outright lap record at the Nürburgring on the full Nordschleife circuit, a record held by the late Stefan Beloff for 35 years, where I hope you might find this more interesting than just to talk about cars and feats and numbers and speeds and power and all of those things. It's a little bit deeper of a subject. It was for me, and I think you'll hear from Timo and definitely from Derek, who was Stefan Beloff's teammate. This record, keep in mind that for many folks who might not know the full Stefan Beloff story, that he was on pace to be the 1980s Michael Schumacher or Sebastian Vettel, Germany's leading, just top talent coming up. We expected so much from him. Killed in 1985, 2 years after setting this outright lap record at the Nürburgring, which he did, by the way, not in special circumstances, not with the track all to himself, but in qualifying for a regular round of the World Endurance Championship with the better part of 40 cars on track. Factory driver in Stefan Beloff for Porsche. So here we have, 35 years later, the Porsche factory bringing out nuclear-grade 919 Evo with, I would say, double the power of the Porsche 956 that Stefan used, double the downforce as well, and it was definitely impressive to see what Timo did. But I would also say the greater appreciation, which Derek and I get into, is exactly how much Stefan was able to do. So in most instances, I would say we would be absolutely enamored by what was just achieved. For me, at least, I actually came away with a deeper appreciation for Stefan's achievement. And then there's the question of how you go about this. The tact or the respect. Stefan Beloff, been gone for 33 years now. And despite the fact that he won a World Endurance Championship for Porsche, despite the fact that he was, as a rookie, neck and neck with a guy by the name of Ayrton Senna. For those who don't know about Beloff's full life, you probably have heard his name in association with this Nürburgring record. I don't know. It's a little bit of a... not as clean, for me at least. For you, it may not be an issue whatsoever. There may be nothing at all to discuss. Take a listen, see what you think. And regardless, talking with Timo, speaking with Derek, that is always a wonderful thing for me. This month in the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, we're very fortunate to have our friends at the Justice Brothers supporting us. Their additives, lubricants, and cleaners are America's brand for quality. Their products are definitely used and proven by the world's top racing teams. You can walk into almost any IndyCar, stock car, sports car, garage, under any tent at a racetrack, and you're probably going to find their products in use. Another thing that they're looking to do is to grow their distribution network. So for those who are wanting to start a small business or expand one that you might already have, they would certainly welcome inquiries on joining their team. They do have products for the automotive, semi-truck, agricultural, and industrial markets. And if you'd like to learn more about possibly becoming part of the Justice Brothers sales and distribution team, you can check out their website at justicebrothers.com. All right, let's go with Timo Bernhardt, Derek Bell, talking about the historical aspects and also the modern aspects of lap records set by Porsche in both the 956 with Stefan Beloff and just recently with Timo in the 919 Hybrid on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires. What kind of sensitivity did you have or awareness did you have that this wasn't just a record being held by your countrymen, but you know, this one really has stood the test of time, and I think probably means more to most who followed his career or knew how important he was.
Yes, 100%. I mean, first of all, I was a Stefan Beloff fan myself. I mean, okay, I was way too young to ever meet him, unfortunately. But I met his father on a couple of occasions. I participated in Stefan Beloff Memorial Kart Race in 1995, and I got pole position, I finished second. And on the prize ceremony, I met his father the first time. I met his brother many times, and the former partner, Angelica. So a little bit the family, and then the father also, he followed, the last couple of years he followed my career. He watched Le Mans, and he followed me afterwards, and also he congratulated me to the World Championship end of last year. So, but anyway, I was reading a lot of books, because the more I spoke with people that actually work with him, the more I was, excited to read about him, because what I heard from everybody is that he had, apart from having an ultra high speed and a mega talent to drive race cars on the limit, he was actually a pretty down-to-earth guy and easy to talk to, and had this huge passion for motorsport, which I admire. So, and I think as well that there's a reason why he has this record, which for me is, will always remain in the history books. It was his last official race on this Nordschleife layout, where he put the 6:11:13, which is an amazing lap time, and he got the official track record in this race, which is I believe is 6:25, which will stand anyway forever. So I think he made his mark, which stood as the quickest lap time ever on the Nordschleife for 35 years, and there was a reason, because he was a very, very, very one of the best racing drivers we had.
You know, another thing that stands out, Timo, you and I have been fortunate to know each other for a while. I can't think of a better person for Porsche to have chosen to go after this record there, because I've seen so many things similar between you and Stefan, and again, I did not know him, but I've read about him immensely, spoken with Derek Bell many times about him over the years, and I think the two of you share something in that, both incredibly fast, but also just very human, very, you know, fun, normal people outside of the car. Is there anything that you think that might be special there as well? The fact that, I guess, character-wise, and also what the two of you have meant to Porsche, I think there might be another link there as well.
Well, in no way I would compare myself to Stefan Beloff. That's not what I want to do, and it's not what I want to say as well with his lap time. I think that's the wrong message. He could have brought this Formula One hype to Germany even before the Schumacher era. He was just about to go down this path. I think what he did actually, which also I admire, he gave a lot of young guys, I believe, a chance, because when he got hired from Porsche I believe it was 82, he was the youngest driver they ever signed, or definitely that era, and he brought a positive image to Porsche for young drivers, and I believe that he had he made also possible that Porsche was open to young drivers, and in the end, Porsche, in 1997, they started this junior team, which I think, I don't know 100%, but I believe that maybe he put this positive image for young drivers at Porsche, and maybe that as a result as well had maybe, brought up this junior team. Or definitely, I think he had this positive image. And I went also through this Porsche Juniors school and team, and this was actually my chance to be a professional race car driver. So I think I believe that he did something as well for these young drivers, because I think at that time he was a new generation of racing drivers coming up the ranks, and so that's why he did a lot for German motorsport and for young drivers with the way he drove, with the way he acted, and was already very mature at young age.
Amen. Well, let's talk about the car, my friend, before you have to go. So looking at some of the numbers that Porsche mentioned, 230 miles an hour on one of the straightaways. Obviously, you took, good Lord, an insane amount of time off of the previous record. Tell me about some of the parts of the track, Timo, where you felt, and what sections those were, where you felt the ferocity of the 919 Evo, because we've seen it run in normal trim at WEC races, but there have to be places on the Nordschleife where after you run, you're like, okay, that was special.
I went, we had a pretty good and a pretty, how can I say, pretty large preparation phase. I mean, it was already in January once we know that there's going to be this record run as planned, or that we start to think about if it's possible at all to run this kind of car on a track like the Nordschleife. We were running with our simulator. We were running on the Nordschleife. I was going there myself a couple of times with the race car, with a street car, with the race engineer who was running that car, with Olivier, just to make up our mind, to have an idea, to make a plan, and to see what is crucial, or what we have to do in terms of setup and convert this 919 Evo Beast to convert it to this special track, which is the most challenging one. And very quickly, then when I drove like four weeks ago on that test, I understood that I see the Nordschleife from a different angle at that speed. You have to relearn the track a bit because you have to drive a bit different with this high downforce car. I mean, a couple of crests, I just had to be careful, keep the nose down, and then I could on both carousels, both the big and the small one, I had to take the outside line and couldn't touch any curves. And that was a couple of things that we just had to agree on and to we had to adapt. But in the end, we had a very good, it was a very, very quick race car that we had. And as a result, it was a lot of detailed work, where to put the energy and how to go about, how to attack this kind of lap, you know. There was a strategy behind it. So, and we didn't have many attempts, but to answer your question, I mean, every part is had its own character, but the most thrilling one for me was approaching Flansgarden 1 and then Flansgarden 2, because this was from Flansgarden 1, passing Flansgarden 2 up to the next right-hander before Schwalbenschwand. It was nearly flat all the way down to a couple of corners, which I was, that's when you stop the lap, you know, and you feel the adrenaline still pumping, even though you're half an hour out of the car already. Oh, wow. You still feel that something is going on in your body, which you have hardly experienced before. I mean, that was quite a thrilling experience.
And I guess that's the last question, Timo. So, you know, with almost 1,200 horsepower and insane downforce and all these things, it's like a driver's fantasy, right? Where we think back to other cars throughout time where they've said, you know, whatever manufacturer has said, no rules, we're just going to do the maximum. What's it like as a driver? What was it like being able to test and then set this record with a vehicle that you know it's not going to be rolling through technical inspection when you're done? It's just meant to be the best it can possibly be. What's it like driving something like that? I have to imagine it's a rarity in a driver's career.
Yes. I mean, already to drive the 919 Hybrid with a WEC spec was already amazing, and in a lot of places was thrilling. I mean, especially at Le Mans at night. I mean, there were many occasions where the car felt very quick and in traffic and stuff like that. But to be able to drive this kind of car, which has, I would say, no limits, or which is not referring to any, I mean, regulations, it was another level, another step. I mean, the power, the additional downforce, tires, and the fact that we only ran like short runs was just also different approach. But it was what I was surprised and amazed about, how this car still felt like the 919 Hybrid that I knew. Just the limits were pushed up, were on a different level. But when I stepped in the car, I mean, and that's what, I mean, for all the guys who drove the car, they said, okay, that's the car that we know. It's a familiar feeling. It's just like the speed is on a different level and it's higher. And yeah, so that was amazing to drive. And also, yeah, I mean, in the end, the most comments I was reading or people were saying to me were about the size of my balls. I mean, it was funny to hear that. And probably that's maybe the most rewarding comment that a racing driver can get. But I mean, I want to say that it's as well as for sure you need to have the trust and need to say, okay, I'm going to do that lap at that speed. I think it was a detailed preparation, and from all the team, like how we went about. For sure, it was high speed, but on the other hand, if you watch the video, you also see that the car is how can I say, you can drive it properly on a track which is not made for these kind of cars. You know, it's from a different time. I mean, it's nearly 90 years old, but you can drive with the latest technology car properly there. And it was also one goal that we wanted to achieve, not only to go quick on the straight, to see that actually you can drive this car and it looks good, it looks quick, and you can see the speed and you can see that the car is complying very well with this kind of track. And so that's, I think, the achievement from all the team and a lot of detailed work which I'm very proud to finally get. I mean, I was probably the last little part to put a number on it, you know, like a lap time. But in the end, it was a big effort from everybody putting that car on this track.
I can't wait to see it and everybody at Laguna Seca here in a month or two, and see what we can do for the lap record at my home track as well. So, can't wait.
Already, when you see that car, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, that is pure unleashed engineering. I mean, that's, yeah, it's a special project. I mean, it will always remain. And I've never had a Formula One test or anything like that. So that's definitely officially the quickest car I've ever driven. Probably will remain the one. So, and it actually goes close to F1 speed. I mean, that's just something special. I mean, that you will always remember. That's cool. And I mean, last thing as well, I want to say, I mean, when I drove back on Friday evening from the Nürburgring, I got a phone call from the father of Stefan Beloff, from Georg Beloff, and he congratulated us, the team, and myself for this lap time. And he was very happy. And he said, I mean, he was very was happy that everything went well. And he saw the lap time, he read about it, and he watched it. And I mean, that was, for me, it was something very touching. You know, that he was, it was very rewarding, you know, that he called and I wouldn't say accepted, but acknowledged, you know, that what we did, what we achieved. So that was very touching.
You obviously had a fairly amazing time developing the 956. Some wonderful teammates. Unfortunately, there's one who whose early achievements in the car did not last beyond his youth. I mean, before we get into the record-breaking attempt and the successful crazy speeds achieved by Timo Bernhard, tell us about Stefan Beloff. What kind of man was he, and what kind of talent was he? Because 30-plus years of a record tells us that was a unique individual.
Yes, he really was. I mean, he was outstanding. He was the most delightful, charming lad. We called each other. I called him son, and he called me father. And, I mean, I was only in my 40s, in my 50s then anyway, but he was, or something like that. But he was magnificent. As a person, he was delightful. And I have so many wonderful pictures of him and I laughing. It's just fabulous. And, you know, we never had a bad moment between us. I mean, he was always brilliant, and I was not quite as brilliant, but no, we were great. We were a very good pair together, hence we won quite a few races, or several races. But, you know, we're not talking about me and him, we're talking about him. And, you know, he is a person I thought was delightful, charming, youthful, super talented, and probably the, I mean, I always think of X as being the greatest talent I drove with, and I think Jackie was in his own way, but he was far more a complete driver, whereas I don't think Stefan ever was, because he never grew up into it, and he never matured, whereas he matured from his teenage wunderkind, you know, right the way up to being such a mature star in Formula One and obviously sports cars.
The thing that I know you and I discussed privately, and I'd love to explore here, taking nothing away from Timo Bernhard and Porsche with what they've done with the 919 Evo, Stefan's record at the Nordschleife, that wasn't a record attempt. That was just simply the time that he set in and among, you know, a normal event. It was also done
about 50 cars.
Yeah, it was also done, as we discussed, with approximately half the horsepower and what I have to assume is half the downforce as well. So I realize that Timo has gone, you know, brutally fast and knocked almost a minute off of that record. But I also keep in mind that had you or Stefan had twice the horsepower and twice the downforce, I don't know how easy it would have been to take that record down.
No, well, let's look a bit further into it too, and you can double check on this. But after, 6 years ago, we did a celebration of Stefan's fastest lap at the ring, and then, of course, he subsequently crashed, and that was it. So he was killed. I mean, he damaged the car. And we were at the race while we were leading it. We go in a race to win a race, not to set a world record or the greatest record ever, which you know is going to be beaten. But we wanted to be, I personally wanted to win at the Nürburgring, which I never did until the following year when they opened up the new Grand Prix track and Stefan and I won there. It just seemed cool that the year before we were on the long track. And of course he did his record, but we didn't win. But 5 years ago I went to reenact, if you like, to drive around the track with camera cars and everything, and I did three or four laps with cameras all around me, in Cayenne turbos and things like that. So I wasn't going at all fast, but they did let me do a lap on my own. They said, "Go and enjoy a lap on your own." Well, of course, you're in somebody's. It was in the car that Stefan crashed in, which he and I had both driven. So, of course, I was very cautious, because although I drive 962s a lot, I hadn't driven this one. And the guy that built it was a chap called, I mentioned his name just now, Chris Crawford. And Chris is super guy, super team, but I wasn't 1,000% confident that the car would be necessarily rebuilt one would say original specification. But nonetheless, I had great respect for him. But like any sensible driver, particularly if he's made it to the ripe old age of 5 years ago, I wasn't going to take any chances. So I drove it around fairly quickly, but realized that everywhere that the car used to be leaping and jumping and skidding off the wall over the bloody place, as you can see in the in-car camera on the in-car 956, the bloody car was good. And I finished my lap, and I said, the car's so good. And 2 weeks later, I bumped into Hans Stuck. And I said, oh, la, 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 la. And he said, oh, I drove your car the other day. He said, at Hockenheim or something, or Osteria. I said, all right. I said, yeah. And he said, I hear you drove at the Nürburgring. I said, that's right. So I said, by the way, I said, the track seemed so much. I felt the car was so stable. It wasn't leaping around the track. Maybe I'm really old and I'm not going quickly. And he said, no. He said, they've been around with a grading machine and they've graded all the bad bumps off. So they got rid of a lot of the nasty bumps, which were kicking a ground effect car off the road. Because believe me, I don't think, Bernhard, bless his heart, however good he is, which he is outstandingly good and experienced, could have handled the way, although Beloff did a 6.11, I don't think, he'd have gone quicker, but I don't know how much quicker. Because the track, you spend most of the time off the track. Up in the air. And so that was Stucky telling me that. So you can take that as being genuine because he wouldn't have had any reason to say it. Because he said, no, he said they've machined the track over the years and flattened out the rough pieces. So they made it more drivable. And the more now I analyze back and you think of all the touring car races and the super, the German touring Meisterschaft and all this stuff with all their basically Formula One cars with a body on. They wouldn't get round the ring as we knew it in those days because it was so rough, and it had to be smoother. however much work you do with dampers, you're not going to get rid of, you know, whatever, 30 years or 50 years of a surface on a racetrack. Do you follow what I'm getting at?
Yeah, absolutely. And that maybe
I don't want to pull, you know, I don't want to be, it's not sour grapes because we went in it, or Stefan's time has been, all times are there to be beaten. And it had to happen. But, I don't think the track is really particularly different, but I just think, no, the surface is better. And we did it in a race, in race conditions, you know, on a set of tires that had already done 50 or 60 miles halfway through a tire stand. I mean, for all I know, they didn't send him out to break the record. So he might have had tires that would have done 2 hours, for all I know. They weren't set up just to go out and do a three-lap lash. But anyway, you could talk all day about that. But I think nonetheless, Porsche had done a hell of a job. And again, it's rather like the Spa one, you know. I think that, you know, they had no other opposition. They had a track to themselves. They didn't have to worry. And, you know, they did a hell of a job, but they had 1,000 bloody horsepower or more. And they probably had more, truth to that.
I think what would be most interesting to close would be another topic that we broached before we started recording, and that was the new record set by Timo. Again, phenomenal. Hit 229.5 miles an hour on the longest final straight during his run.
Yeah.
More than 1,100 horsepower, downforce just insane, plus drag reduction system, so on and so forth. If anything, what I've come away with was an even greater appreciation for what Stefan achieved. Do you, does that strike you in any similar way?
Yeah, but totally. I mean, I would try not to take anything away from what Timo and Porsche have done, because it's 30 years later. So you can't take anything away from that, what they have done in development of that car. And obviously we've seen it in sports car guys, you know, doing it in sports car races and Le Mans, but it's built for a different reason. I think it's outrageously good what they've done, but you mustn't take anything away from what Stefan Beloff did in that era. And I think that you can't say what Stefan did was greater, but I think in the heat of a race to do that, I mean, to be able to do what Stefan did during a race, when he wasn't really, he was just going quicker because he enjoyed it. Nobody set him out there to do it. Is absolutely unbelievable. And I don't want to detract from Timo's effort or the team's effort, because all the effort they put into it, but it was contrived. And I don't think that, Beloff's thing was contrived in the least.
And that was Derek Bell weaving through the multifaceted aspect of what was just achieved by Porsche, and wanted to make very clear that what his dear friend and late teammate achieved was done in non-special circumstances, during a regular racing meet. So thanks again to Derek for bringing some historical context to not only what was just achieved by the modern Porsche factory, but also the incredibly special nature of that record that stood for 35 years with his beloved teammate, Stefan Beloff. We're looking forward to Porsche and Rennsport reunion coming back to the Bay Area in Monterey to WeatherTech Raceway at Laguna Seca in a few months. Cannot wait to see the 919 hybrid there and all of the glory, the sheer glory of what the German manufacturer has produced over decades and decades of motor racing. And if you're interested in expanding either your small business or starting one, definitely be sure to check out justicebrothers.com to take a look at their line of automotive, semi-truck, agricultural, and industrial market cleaners, lubricants, and additives, and see if that might fit what you're looking for to expand your personal empire. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is the Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires. Thank you so much for listening.